Deshane and Jamie have a few words for each other, and it ain't nice. Find out more watching Top Boy on The After Show.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hi, my loves. Or should I say, what's up, bro?
Wagwan.
Wagwan. You are here enjoying us as we speak about Top Boy Season 1, Episode 5, Smoke Get in Your Hands. That's what we're going to be talking about here. I'm your girl, Zakia, loving everything about Top Boy and also Drake. You guys know I'm a Drake fan. Shout out to Champagne Poppy. But I can't be here or talk or speak anything about Top Boy if I didn't have Taron with me.
I'm the Top Boy expert. Here's the thing.
Without
me, there would be no Top Boy. I feel like that's the case.
Are you sure about that?
Hello.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
He speaks many languages, which makes him like our cultural.
I'm the cultural attaché. Is that where we're
going? I was going there, and I'm glad you picked that spot up for me. That's why I have him. That's why I have him.
We're such a good team. Yes. And we're joined with the dream team. Taron and Ryan are back together again.
My man Ryan in the booth.
Thank you, Ryan. Yes. That's enough talking.
I'm the booth boy. Okay.
But everyone, we are going to jump right into, everyone seems to be happy in Summer House besides Sully. We also have the OGs, and are they getting too old? Are they too old? That's a question that we are all asking. Deshane, is he possibly going to have a love life? I mean, we are going to jump into all of this and more special segments. We ain't going to do predictions, but yeah, we're going to jump into so much more. But overall, what were your thoughts?
Well, I really enjoyed episode 4. And going into episode 5, now we're in the thick of things. We're seeing things move. We're finally seeing the conflict between Jamie and Deshane, which we all knew it had to start somewhere. You can't have this many chefs in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You can't have all these alphas in one little place. You cannot. So we see that confrontation, which was a reminiscent of, it was the antithesis, actually, of watching Sully and Deshane meet.
Right.
So here we have Jamie and Deshane, that meeting, that was very strong and powerful, and that energy that resonates from Jamie mm-hmm. is so strong and powerful. It's great to watch Deshane's reaction, thinking he has the upper hand, and then realizing he doesn't with Jamie, who is as sharp with the blade as he is with his tongue.
Yep.
So it's nice to see those two out with the old, in with the new montage. We're going to talk a little bit mm-hmm. about that ageism that we're getting into. And also Sully, last episode you were discussing how Sully would not get Jace's death out of his head.
Right.
And you could possibly be right, because it's still very much on his mind this episode.
Mm-hmm. I agree. For me, this episode really took a change in the beginning. It was a switch. We went from sad and we don't have any peas, no money, no food, to now everyone's happy. Everyone's getting money. Everyone's joyous. And then all of a sudden, the clouds and the storm came again. And now we have a battle between Deshane and Jamie. And I like that face off, because we haven't seen them face to face yet. So it was interesting, their dynamic, that OG to that top boy, now the top boy dynamic. So I love this episode for bringing those two switches of moods, basically.
Who do you think is the actual top boy? Is it Deshane or is it Jamie?
It got to be Jamie for me. I'm a fan of Jamie. What about you?
I think Jamie is clearly the one calling the shots. And mm-hmm. I think Deshane understands that now. Not that Deshane's going to give in to Jamie calling the shots, but Deshane realizes Jamie is not. Because until now, we've seen them consistently underestimate mm-hmm. to the point where they couldn't believe or fathom that the youths, as they called them, were the ones running the Madenim. They couldn't fathom it being anyone other than Modi or Leighton or the people that they're used to. They couldn't fathom any of these things. And now they've come to the harsh reality that the world, East London, and their hoods have moved on without them.
Yep, for sure. And the harsh reality is that everyone is happy in Summer House. Everyone is eating. They now have food to give to all their clients or crackheads, whatever you want to sane.
Yeah, I was going to say everyone's happy except for the Kraken. Listen, it's a miserable place. These people are happy because they're making money, but let's not forget they're making people's lives miserable.
Yes, they are. But the one person who's very miserable is Sully. I mean, obviously, as we projected, well, I projected, you didn't agree with me, but Sully is sad because of the death of Jason, and it's very traumatizing for him. And the do you think that he has the PTSD? Or what is it?
PTSD
because he's smelling the flames on his hands.
Yeah, possibly he has the PTSD. Possibly you have the dyslexia. I don't know which is which. I don't know how it's going to go forward.
Okay,
but I do
I might
think,
have that. So
I that's think neat. That going no, forward, what we're seeing is Sully definitely has some resonance of Jace's death lingering on his conscious and on his soul. This was the last inch of his innocence, but then he's possibly regaining it as he gets close to Tasha. I don't know.
Yeah, the only thing that I see with Sully is that he doesn't care about the money anymore. Because before, Sully was huge into, let's make this money. I don't want to make this money with you, DeShane. And now he's totally switched, and the money isn't happy. Like, DeShane's counting it like, yo, do you see how many peas we have? Like, we're on top again. And honestly, Sully is just not there. He's in a drought, and again, he's more human at this point in his form, and he's actually dealing with his emotions.
I don't know if he's more human or if you're simply equating humanity with vulnerability. He's more vulnerable
at
this moment.
I do because I feel like we're all vulnerable, and I'm just going to keep messing up words today. That's just how it's going to go today. But I do. I think that when you accept your emotions and your feelings in this type of job, because as we later or before had said that this is a career path for these gentlemen. In a way, it's not the best one. We don't condone it. But as they prevail in these jobs, that your emotion is something that can overtrump you, or it could push you to higher places. And I do see that being vulnerable is a one that makes them more human, in a sense of they're not just like, oh, I'm going to kill everybody and everyone's going to die and we're going to just, like, eat these peas or everybody eating in our hood, but that's just me.
Well, at the same time, vulnerability in this situation can get you killed. There's definitely a weakness in being vulnerable when you are in a dog-eat-dog situation. And so I do not know if this is beneficial for Sully. Sure, it makes Sully more appealing to Mademoiselle Magazine and the covers of 17, but at the same time, how is he going to survive the jungle that is Summer House?
Yeah. And I think he did try to survive in some type of way, because we saw later in the episode, he took revenge.
Yeah, and that part was something I thought was a long time coming. Mm-hmm. I was surprised it took so long in the scheme or schematic feel of the show.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the part where they had him going into the ocean, because it felt like he cleansed himself from that trauma. That's just the interpretation I got. So maybe he could now finally move forward by seeking revenge, and now he's able to be in the game, because he's not in the game this episode. He's completely not there. Like, he's dropping the ball.
I saw it as a form of a rebaptization into the crime life, or into the life that he is meant to lead. But he's very torn from this house.
Mm-hmm.
Hold that he sees as something that's almost unachievable or unattainable for him. He can't even. Sully's having a very difficult time even adjusting himself to the concept of Paul and who Paul represents in his daughter's life and in his former girlfriend's life.
Yeah.
Sully's having a very difficult time adjusting. He's in a limbo gray area right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in limbo, nothing can make you happy.
Yeah, completely. Nothing is going to even be able to make him happy. And they're old. I mean, what I saw was that these top dogs are OGs, and they're old. When they were in the club, they didn't even want to be there. I mean, Sully left. He's like, yo, I'm done with this. And DeShane, he kind of came later after he saw his love interest. And he also wasn't really feeling the vibes. Do you think they're too old to be in this game? Is this game not for them right now?
You know, honestly, the game is a young man's game. Mm-hmm. So being youthful, energetic, is clearly an advantage in a lot of ways. Are they too old to be in it? No, but are they too old to be flaunting in it? Mm-hmm. And the answer is possibly yes, especially in the places that they are. They're popping bottles and doing things that are unnecessary, especially coming off of the dichotomy of having the stable household life that we see almost every one of their peers have. When I say peers, I mean people in their former lives. We see this with Duchesne and his brother. Now we're watching this with Sully and his ex. And they have these stable, normal lives. And they're living fine. And they're happy.
Yeah. For sure. I think they are getting too old. And I'm seeing it again as a career standpoint. We have maybe Jamie is like the supervisor or whatever. And they should be CEOs. Out of the limelight. Out of the way. Never really come into the office. Never on the streets. Maybe they should take a position like that, but instead they're trying to run the roads and be out here in these streets, and it's just not made for them. And it's something that can possibly, if they're not aware of everything, get them killed or hurt. So, or get anybody in their
They're too accessible. Mm-hmm. They're too accessible. Be out. Have a mystery. Have an air about you.
Yeah.
And even if you are going to be out at the club, at least do that right. They're not doing any of the attributes correctly. Mm-hmm. They're simply doing this. So I'm actually watching it as, why are you guys doing this
why?
Now? Why are you doing? It'd be different if they were out. Let's examine it like the way Puff goes out.
Mm-hmm.
When Puff goes out, he goes out.
Right.
Puff doesn't ever need to leave his house ever again. Mm-hmm. But when he's out, he's going to make sure you all know he's out and mm-hmm. he's Puff. Because sure, it looks like fun to the layman's eye, but it's actually work. So when Duchesne and Sully and even Dries are out, they're working. The work is, look at us, this is who we are, pay attention, because we can purchase this from anybody. Mm-hmm. We need to purchase this from the winning team.
And even Dries, like, he's one of the original Summer House OGs, and he is completely slacking. He is satin.
He had a stroke. He's really looking
old.
He's the one looking the most.
Oh.
I don't like using that term specifically.
Really?
Because
I think
they're being portrayed as 35 to 38 in that range.
In the game, that's old for me. But I think that what's troubling me with Dries is he's taking his medicine with drugs and alcohol, as we assume, because Duchesne was like, yo,
what are you doing? Exactly. He's not recovering well. And the reason I don't like the ageism mm-hmm. that we're trying to portray. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're realizing it, which is why they even have that conversation. We're too old. Like, I've always thought, if I'm 40 or if I'm 50 and I'm still in a club and I don't own that club,
right. Shoot
me. Like, why am I there? Be home with your family.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that mentality.
Yeah, for sure. But it seems like Duchesne is trying to brew something up.
He's trying to reclaim that old life. You uh-huh. know who Duchesne reminds me of?
Who?
There's a show called Married with Children, and Al Bundy used to talk about how he scored 4 touchdowns in a single game.
Oh, gosh.
And Duchesne is that guy mm-hmm. reliving the past instead of looking to the future sometimes. Like, you're not Duchesne 10 years ago, bruv.
Right. I think he's starting to realize that he wants a future, because we see he is taking a liking to this
He
new
is
girl.
Taking a liking to
yes,
Shelly.
Yes, Shelly. Even her child. I mean, he went and he
She's
saw
She's a cute girl, though.
She's
that
so cute.
That little kid with her, clearly it's some type of, I don't want to call it a personality disorder, but there's some type of
for who?
Personality for Shelly's daughter, the way she's so bold and brazen.
I know, she's just
a very cute way to be, and I think it's so adorable.
Yes.
I like it so much.
I wish
more people were like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a disorder. I think it's just her. Like, she's just cute and bubbly, and she's just like,
I think they're portraying that she's on the spectrum.
Really?
I think so.
I didn't see that at all. I think she's just I was that little girl. Don't you start. He was going to start, and I'm not going to let him take me there.
Okay.
No. But I think that he is trying to, he sees, like, his mother went to the hospital. And I think he's seeing, like, hey, I am becoming, I want to be a man. I want to start this family. I mean, he even got her a necklace and he's trying to give it to her. And of course, she's setting the tone. She's like, listen, I don't want to just be a little girl. Like, if you really want to be here, you have to be here. She's a little nosy. But do you think she's rightfully asking him to be with her and actually be the man that she needs in her life?
I think we need to know and learn more about Shelly before I can say that. Because here's the concept of a relationship. It has to be a two-way street. While Shelly represents the stability and is very obviously attractive and caring and sweet and also is what, quote-unquote, a good girl. Mm-hmm. So she is the opposite of her sidekick, Lauren.
Right.
Right? So Lauren, who's Jack's sister, we see Lauren and Shelly have this friendship that's interesting, but Lauren's still out there being that girl, and Shelly has become this girl, right? For whatever reason, for better or worse. So she's living this, she's got a child, she doesn't want to play these games, but at the same time, she's asking a lot of Duchesne from the get-go, mm-hmm. which is her right, but I don't know if she expects it or if Duchesne is willing to give it. It is her right, but at the same time, for Shelly, you do realize what Duchesne does. You're not, you're obviously in the know. Is this the best thing for your daughter to be around?
So, before she said, she definitely has already been in a relationship where she was with a drug dealer.
Which I predicted.
Right, right. So, she was already in some type of relationship sure. with someone of that stature. But for me, I feel like she's not asking him to drop everything he's doing or be
sure,
someone
else. Sure, but her responsibility should be to her child. You don't want that influence around your child.
But I think what she's basically trying to say, because it was Duchesne who stepped it up a notch. He brought the necklace. Sure. So she's saying, okay, if you're gonna step into this path, like, let's be honest here. If you want to be with me, these are some things that I need you to do. And she's used to the lifestyle.
See, and that's what my problem is. And I appreciate that she's used to it, but here's my problem, and this transcends beyond just the show. Mm-hmm. There are these girls who love that gangster and then expect that gangster to take them to museums and out to dinner. It's like a girl sit in this drive-by and hold this gun.
She's not,
like, you knew what was happening. You know what this is about.
No, I don't think she's asking for that. She's asking for security. She's asking that you're going to be here for me mentally and physically. And if you can't be here physically, always be there for me mentally. And I think that's the mindset she's on. She has a baby. She wants to move on. She wants to do bigger things. And then she wants him to look beyond just like what he's doing currently. She wants to also build him and build her.
She's
and
great for him. I just don't know if he's good for her.
Yeah, well, that I can definitely agree with, because he's a mess. I mean, even with his mom being in hospital, he didn't even stay around long enough to even see if she was okay, which that kind of took me away.
I'm actually, as the show goes on, I'm becoming less and less a fan of Duchesne.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, of course, it's not his fault. This is a role that is being written for him. And it's very difficult. That's how good you know the show is when Ashley Waiters and Duchesne have become one person.
Yeah.
No, they're completely different people. Ashley Waiters is probably a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
Just lovely. But Duchesne's kind of a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And now I'll explain the way he talks to everybody. I don't like how there's a lack of leadership. He is not specifically. He expects a lot out of all of his compatriots, but doesn't really give them much other than the service he provides. And I don't like that. I see a difference when it comes to Jamie. Jamie is loyal. Jamie inspires that loyalty. Mm-hmm. He gets you hype. He's the artist that you watch on stage, and you're in the song even if you don't know the song.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie has that effect on me.
Exactly. And oh, I'm sure he does.
But speaking of loyalty, we are loyal at the Buzz. Can you tell us why?
Well, that's because we love each and every one of you. You are all our Jamies. We appreciate all the comments below. We love talking to you. Share, subscribe, spread the word. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, please give us that 5-star rating we so greatly deserve. We want to thank all of you for making us the ESPN of TV talk.
Boom. He does it so perfectly, guys. You are perfect.
I appreciate you, but I'm no Jamie, right? I'm no Jamie?
Yeah, definitely not.
Oh, that was unnecessary. That part was unnecessary. No. That part hurt. That hurt my heart.
Oh, my gosh.
You call me Duchesne right now? That hurt my heart.
Okay, but you know you're not Dries.
Okay, that's all right. At least I'm not Dries, right? That's going to be the ongoing thing.
They're stepping on him, man. Is he going to be an enemy, though?
I think the Dries is, to me, it's actually, he was running the streets, so to speak, until mm-hmm. they both got out, and then immediately he got bumped
slapping
right down to
face.
Third.
No, fourth, because after Jack.
Oh, Jack. Now
yeah.
Jack got bumped up. That's right. So now your underling is now basically over you.
Yep.
And he feels, that's definitely something he feels. He's very aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Dries is not as fast as he once was, physically or mentally. However, he knows what he deserves. He reminds me of Fredo from The Godfather. Fredo, I knew it was you.
He does. And, you know, I think they're making enemies. So, Deshane made an enemy with Dries and Sully because he kind of talks him like crap as well. But then Jermaine is back, which we learned before. If you watch Summer House, or if you watch the episode now, you don't technically have to watch Summer House. But Jermaine was Sully's cousin who he, like, chained him up, kidnapped him, and did all the crazy.
So they had a conflict. They had a business conflict. And yes. Jermaine is working with the other side. So Sully went after his own cousin. That's right. When we were learning how ruthless Sully was.
Sully was back when ruthless
Sully was in effect.
Mm-hmm.
This was no-nonsense Sully.
But now we're adding an enemy. Be like, now
yeah,
we have
I mean, Jermaine
enemy.
Hasn't forgotten.
Right.
Jermaine reminded me of Duchesne's brother. Remember, it was almost a similar storyline, except Jermaine is in the game. So
yes.
Duchesne's brother is like,
yes.
I got kidnapped and tied up and begged me for forgiveness. And Jermaine, he doesn't want forgiveness. He wants vengeance. So
yes.
I'm worried about what Jermaine is going to do. He showed up at the school.
Mm-hmm. The only difference is... with Deshane's situation with his brother, he didn't send those people for him.
He did not.
Sully straight up was like, yo, I know you're my cousin, and I'm kidnapping you, and tell your people, our other cousin, your brother, to bring the money. So at this point, it's over. I mean, you made an enemy, and I think that Sully is trying to move on from it and kind of think that what he did before is going to threaten Jermaine to not come for him. But in these streets, you know, he is somebody to fear, and that's just that. And now they're making another enemy with Jamie. They kidnapped our provider, which is also we see that Jamie and her having this little relationship going on. Did you see that?
I saw it, and I don't think Jamie's ever watched Get Out. I want to tell him. I want to be like, Jamie.
What?
Jamie.
With their sex life and their relationship, because at this point he's having sex with his supplier. Is that going to affect their business?
I think that...
It's business time.
I think that it's going to affect Jamie. Jamie's still young.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens where young men are enamored. And especially she brings up the concept of the mommy issue before. So are enamored by these older women. And they don't know how to handle themselves the way that experience does. This is where experience does come into play. And it seems that she's in it for the lust, and he might be in it for a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the problem.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, especially since he already lost the girl, Tilly, and he's out here. And like I said, I think that a part of Jamie, even though he has his family, still wants a little bit of love, even if it comes in a form that's of lust. And I think he might get a little foggy in that area between the love, the lust, and the business relationship aspect of everything. But when they kidnapped her, I mean, at this point, now we know that Deshane knows who Jamie is, and they have this face-off. And basically, Jamie was not having it. He put down the rules, and he's like, no, you're going to do what I say. And we saw Deshane back off, which I didn't even see that about to happen. Like, Deshane basically said, all right, whatever, here's your girl. Are you going to say, like, Deshane's going to do something back, or is he actually just going to fall under Jamie?
I think Deshane cannot fall under Jamie. Deshane is still a king on his own. We see a very similar thing, let's say, in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ever have Nas signed to Jay-Z. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
You cannot have... Kendrick Lamar could never sign to Drake. They just have to have their own labels.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think that if Deshane didn't have to get this money for Suga, that he might just have fallen in line. Because I felt that he wants the relationship aspect and also just to make his peace. But because now he's in a predicament where he has to save his cousin, if he doesn't come up with this profit, his cousin's going to die, then now he's forced to probably have to retaliate or go against
Jamie. I think
Jamie.
He's forced to work with Suga because of that. But I think Deshane has been waiting for an excuse to get back to this life. Let's look at what we saw in episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Deshane was no stranger to crime. The entire catalyst to all of this was the concept of Deshane going in a robbery going awry. That wasn't based on Deshane not wanting to be a kingpin. It was just based on his circumstance that he had to start at the low end of the totem pole and work his way back up. Now he's back on his own turf. There's no way he can go back. He cannot. He can't go back to just being second fiddle or someone else's bitch. He has to be the top boy. He needs to be the top dog. He needs to be in charge. In fact, it's already painting him simply being partners again directly with Sully. And I'm not saying it's painting him outwardly, but on the inside, he still thinks he's the boss.
Right. And he's always been selfish, though. Like, every move he makes, and I'm starting to agree with Sully. At first, I wasn't on Sully's side, but, yeah, DeShane is really starting to still feel like he's the boss. And I feel like now he takes out his aggression on Drees, which is even worse because, like I said, he might have him an enemy at that point. But I do want to touch on what's been happening a lot in these past two episodes and continuously happen is immigration. And we see Atz is he... now is forced to care for his mom, even though his mom isn't asking him to. And I do see Atz playing some type of role where he might join DeShane's group or something. And how do you feel about Atz right now? I still want to know, do you believe he might just be part of the Top Boy crew or the Summer House crew?
Atz is definitely, they're setting up the storyline where he is being driven through... nature and nurture, right? Through the concept of what's going on in his life, he's being driven towards Jack and the DeShane crew. So he's definitely going drifting in that direction. We'll see how it plays out, but it's definitely a dangerous road. We're watching a different Atz. We're watching one who lies to his mom.
Yeah.
And even though it's a sweet lie, he's trying to save money. You see him. You've seen what he's been capable of. He's been trying to do whatever he can, but he's lying to his mom. He's not going to class. He's been missing school. This is a troubled youth.
Mm-hmm.
He has now become troubled. This is what happens. This is how people end up in jail, and there's always that, he was such a good boy. Mm-hmm. This is what the such a good boy. We're watching such a good boy deter. And the problem is you can't turn a good kid, you can't turn a bad kid good, but once a good kid's gone bad, he's basically gone forever.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at with it.
I do like how the story incorporated the teacher as someone who can possibly lead him out and cares about him. And the other teacher basically pointed out to her, like, you don't have to do his laundry, because she was taking care of his laundry and assisting him. And he's like, she's basically saying, yes, I do. And I do think that's so important to at least have someone who isn't part, and I wouldn't say isn't part of your family, because it could also be someone part of your family, but someone who cares about you enough to want to know your situation and try to help. I hope it doesn't turn on him where she reports something, but I don't think
she will. She seems to be on his side. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she cares about him. She sees his potential. But we saw something similar in the last episode where the family and Hedia, the Muslim baby mother, we're going to assume wife, but we're not sure, goes to the store and steals something, and the police officer, who you don't expect to pay,
mm-hmm.
pays for the items out of his own pocket, goes, what are they? Realizes that these are items that are necessities. These aren't just willy-nilly items. These are things that are needed. And obviously, she's ashamed of what she's done. It's out of necessity, and he pays. Mm-hmm. And his action causes his partner to help pay as well.
Mm-hmm.
Here we see a teacher who cares. So mm-hmm. the concept of the civil servant who actually wants to do their job, and she says something so powerful. She's like, if we wanted to get paid, we wouldn't have become teachers.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's so important to see that there is an underlining kindness in this show. Despite all of the drugs and drama, there are people who care about these children in these areas and their situations. So that was great.
Yeah, they wrote this for TV. Go on. No, there are people in real life.
First of all, I think this is real life. Like, when I'm watching this, I am in Summer House with everyone, just not a part of the madness. But I do want to go into our special segment. Yes, so we have a special segment that, guys, we're going to continue to do, and it's Top Boy Lingo. So this time we learned about Roman, and so when I researched Roman, it basically was saying, like, these are men in, like, the Nike track suits who are just out and on, like, doing what they gotta do.
They're gangsters. Roman and gangsters,
right? So I mean, we see that here. They're actually teens. They're young. They're not older individuals.
They're on the streets.
They're on the streets. And they're passing the drugs.
They're trapping
at the bando.
Yeah. Do you even know what that means?
No, but I heard it on a rap song.
So yes, that is Roadman.
Oh, really? I love that. Thank you for playing Drake.
Ooh.
Welcome. But I hear we got some news and gossip.
Sure, we do. Actually, the actor who plays Drees has an amazing interview on King Apparel Streetwear. It's a blog. He discusses, of course, the future of Drees and upcoming projects. He's on several other Netflix projects. So if you've gotten enough of Top Boy or you've seen it all already, there are things and you can watch him. His name is Sean Romulus. He's been on several things. And he does this great... He explains Top Boy and its meaning to the London world, and it's a very wonderful read.
Wow.
So check it out. Make sure it's Top Boy Drees Interview, kingapparel.com.
Yes, guys, make sure you check it out. I did watch another show he was on. It was like Intent.
Intent 1 and Intent 2.
Yeah, I saw one already, so I'm going to watch 2. But it is the same vibes, too. Like the
It's
whole,
the same concept. It's, yep. Honestly, it's not as well written, to be very fair. For movies, they're not that as well written. Top Boy is extremely well written. Mm-hmm. And something I've noticed about Top Boy, they do not use the word nigga mm-hmm. on the show. Mm-hmm. And even though nigga doesn't play as prominent a role in London slang, it's still very much a part of London slang. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, and I would be very interested in knowing if this was done on purpose, if they went out of their way not to use the word nigga on the show. Which, if this was... the same show, Top Boy, but it was placed in Atlanta mm-hmm. or in Inglewood or somewhere else, we would see this. And there are, of course, conversations about how this is setting up Black society. Even when I watch the show, I'm like, man, if I was in a London British police officer, I'd be pulling over every black and brown person I saw. Sheesh! Like, every time you see a black guy in a Range Rover, he's just dealing drugs. Can we have someone be an orthopedic surgeon?
No. Oh, my gosh.
There's one guy who's like...
Really?
Hey, even Jermaine, who's the cousin, who's an agent, he's the sports agent, he's making his money from drugs. Like, can't we have just one guy who's like, oh, that's a nice car? And he's like, yes, hello, I work at the grocery store. I own it. Oh, Cheerios. No, I own Cheerios. Like, something.
Maybe if they do season 2, they might have something that separates...
Oh, they will.
Yeah.
There has to be. This is... It's charting off the... Charting off the charts.
It's a bad man. No.
So, yes, that make sure to check out that interview.
Guys, make sure you check out the interview. We love being here. Every time we come and talk about Top Boy, we get delighted because it's honestly such an amazing show. Thank you for always tuning in. I'm your girl. I'm your girl, Zakiya Wilbers. You can find me on Instagram at ZakiyaW_.
And, of course, find me at I Am Tehran all across the board, IamTehran. And you can find me hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz After Shows because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows, too.
Boom, guys.
See you next time. More Top Boy.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.